أنا أعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن خير الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد، so we continue now in the Risala. Last time we discussed al-bayan al-rabi, or the fourth kind or type of bayan in of the Quran, and that was the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that has no precedence in the Quran, or that has no reference. It legislates something that is not in the Quran at all. There is no mention of it in the Quran. So there were many important texts that we read at that time from that chapter, from that section, from this section about the fourth bayan. And if you want, you can go to the tape and listen to them, remember, review. But I just would like to remind you of one of them that's important, in which Imam Shafi'i says, فَكُلُّ مَنْ قَبِلَ عَنِ اللَّهِ فَرَائِضَهُ فِي كِتَابِهِ قَبِلَ عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ سُنَنَهُ بِفَرْضِ اللَّهِ طَاعَةَ رَسُولِهِ عَلَى خَلْقِهِ وأن ينتهوا إلى حكمه، ومن قبل عن رسول الله فعن الله قبل لما افترض الله من طاعته. The last part of it, it says, whoever accepts anything from Rasulullah, then he is indeed accepting it from Allah, because of what Allah has obligated that people obey him, obey the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The first bayan is that about ijtihad or qiyas. And as you remember, probably some of you who were present in the one of the chapters where we discussed, there was a brief discussion of each of the different bayans, there was a brief discussion of qiyas. So now there will be a little more detail here, not much more, because there will be still more discussion later on. Actually, most of the book will be discussing these similar and related issues. The fifth bayan, Allah Azza wa Jalla, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, وَمِنْ حَيْثُ خَرَجْتَ فَوَلِّ وَجْهَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ وَحَيْثُ مَا كُنْتُمْ فَوَلُّ وُجُوهَكُمْ شَطْرَهُ. We cited this ayah at that time, the ayah about Qibla, and we said that is one of the proofs that Imam al-Shafi'i uses to prove that, one of the texts that he used to prove that ijtihad is wajib in the ummah. The ayah is saying what means wherever you go, then turn your face towards al-masjid al-haram, the sacred masjid, and wherever you are, turn your faces in its direction. فَفَرَضَ عَلَيْهِمْ حَيْثُمَا كَانُوا أَن يُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَهُمْ شَطْرًا. So he made it an obligation on them, wherever they are, to turn their faces towards it. وَشَطْرُهُ جِهَتُهُ. And shatr in the Arabic language means its direction. Shatr. Shatr means like half, or from splitting something. They split something, تَشْطُرُهُ شَطَرَ يَشْطُرُ means split in half. Now, it is, and that is why the half of a thing is shatr. And as Rasulullah ﷺ says, for example, أُوتِيَ يُوسُفُ شَطْرَ الْحُسْنِ, that Yusuf has been given half of beauty, of the beauty that is given to all people. Now, here, but also shatr, I'm not sure if it is derived from this same thing of half. It says, it means direction. Turning your face shatra something doesn't mean half of that something. It means in the direction of that thing. So the ayah says, وَلُّ وُجَاكُمْ شَطْرَ. It says, شَطْرُهُ جِهَتُهُ فِي لُغَةِ الْعَرَبِ. شَطْرُهُ means its direction in the language of the Arabs. إِذَا قُلْتَ أَقْصِدُ شَطْرَ كَذَا مَعْرُوفٌ أَنَّكَ تَقُولُ أَقْصِدُ قَصْدَ عَيْنِ كَذَا. When you say, I am going or intending to go in the direction of such and such, it is known that you mean, I intend to go to that very thing, which means, for example, you say, I want to go towards, let's say, the door here. It means that you face it and you plan to go straight to reach it. And it doesn't mean that you face away from it and you have some kind of hope that you will reach it. وَكَذَلِكَ تِلْقَاءَهُ جِهَتَهُ. Similarly, tilqa in the Arabic language means its direction. أي أستقبل تلقاءه وجهته, which means I turn my face in towards it and in its direction. وإن كلها معنى واحد. And indeed, all of these have the same meaning, which means شطر, تلقاء, and جهة. All these words mean the same thing. وَإِنْ كَانَتْ بِأَلْفَاظٍ مُخْتَلِفَةٍ. Even though they have different terms, we use these different words, but they all mean the same meaning. قَالَ خُفَافُ بْنُ نُدْبَةٍ. خُفَاف بن ندبة here he says in the footnote, هَذَا هُوَ إِبْنُ عُمَيْرِ بْنِ الْحَرَثِ السُّلَمِ وَأُمُّهُ نُدْبَةٍ كَانَتْ سَوْدَاءَ حَبَشِيَّةٍ وَإِلَيْهَا يُنْسَبُ. His name is Ibn Umayr bin al-Harith al-Sulami. His mother is called Nudba, so he is called after his mother, Khufaf, the son of Nudba. And she was a black Abyssinian woman. And to her he is related. And he is the cousin of Al-Khansa, the famous Arab poetress. And he was one of the well-known famous knights or fighters, Arab fighters in the Jahiliyyah. And he reached the time of Islam and he embraced Islam and was a good Muslim. And he was a part of, or he fought in the battle of Al-Fatah. And he was one of the three Aghribatul Arab, he says here, which means the strangers among the Arabs. I don't know why they call them like that. Or those who were secluded from among the Arabs. The other two, Antarat ibn Shaddad al-Absi, وأمه زبيبة وهي سوداء, والسليك بن عمير السعدي أمه سليكة maybe here كانت سوداء. Or they call them أغربة because they are all black. They are Arabs but they are black because their mothers were from Africa and they were dark in color, very dark in color. So عنترة بن شداد and سليك بن عمير and this خفاف بن ندبة, which it seems that he was a Sahabi because he fought in Ghazwat, in the battle of Al-Fatah, so in the conquering of Mecca. And he was a good Muslim, as he says. Anyways, in this line of poetry that Imam Shafi'i is citing from Khufaf bin Nudba, he says, أَلَا مَنْ مُبْلِغٌ عَمْرَ الرَّسُولَ وَمَا تُغْنِي الرِّسَالَةُ شَطْرَ عَمْرِ. أَلَا مَنْ مُبْلِغٌ عَمْرَ الرَّسُولَ وَمَا تُغْنِي الرِّسَالَةُ شَطْرَ عَمْرِ, which means, is there anyone who can deliver or make a messenger reach Amr, a person called Amr? However, what would a message sent to Amr be of any benefit? How would it be of any benefit? It seems that they needed some help from a person called Amr, maybe a prince or something. But they said, even if he got our message to help us, is he going to do anything about it? So he uses this line of poetry to show you how the word shatr is used in this line. وَمَا تُغْنِي الرِّسَالَةُ شَطْرَ عَمْرِ. What would the letter sent shatr in the direction of Amr be of benefit? So you see how they relate the words from the Quran to the words from the Arab poetry, the Jahili poetry before Islam, because this is the original Arabic language, and that explains what are the intended meanings in the Quran. وقال سعيدة بن جؤية سعيدة بن جؤية says he could not find his tarjama or his biography any place. Except that he was a reporter from Sa'ida. That Abu Dhu'aib, one of the reporters of Hadith, was Rawiya, used to report from Sa'ida bin Ju'ayya al-Hudhari. So other than this, he could not find any information about him. Is there any information about him with you in that book? Sa'ida bin Ju'ayya. This is in number 107. Go ahead, mention just a little bit. Huh? طب يلا اقرأ نشوف كيف قراءتك يعني.
قال ابن
قتيبة
في الشعراء
قتيبة بالقاف ما هي؟ قتيبة ايوه
في الشعراء
بترجمة ابي دويد هذه اللي عندنا اياها هي ما في غيرها هي same thing as we said جزاك الله خير المنظور هو تاع لسان العرب نفس الشيء طيب ازيكم So there is no much mention about him except this very brief thing that somebody was his reported from him. Anyway, this Sa'id ibn Ju'ayya, he said, أقول لأمي زنباع أقيمي صدور العيسي شطر بني تميمي. I don't know, sometimes the letters come on top of each other. I'm reading. It's like maybe because I had work on my teeth last week. Anyways. أقول لأمي زنباع أقول لأمي زنباع أقيمي صدور العيس شطر بني تميمي. Which means I tell أم زنباع, the mother of زنباع, some woman's name, straighten or turn the breasts of the camels in the direction of Bani Tamim, of the tribe of Bani Tamim. So again, he's using the same word, shatr, to show you how it means that you turn the camel in the direction of that tribe so that you can travel in its direction. وقال لقيت الإيادي, I will not bore you with his biography now because I don't think you'll remember it later on anyways, but there's some brief biography about each one of these here. He says, وَقَدْ أَضَلَّكُمُ مِنْ شَطْرِ ثَغْرِكُمُ هَوْلٌ لَهُ ظُلَمٌ تَغْشَاكُمُ قِطَعًا وَقَدْ أَضَلَّكُمُ مِنْ شَطْرِ ثَغْرِكُمُ هَوْلٌ لَهُ ظُلَمٌ تَغْشَاكُمُ قِطَعًا. Which means, from the direction, شطر means direction again, of your ثغر. ثغر means like an opening, in like a seaport or an opening in a like a front, a battle front or something like that. So from your thagar, thagar originally means mouth. So from your mouth here, it means the place which is easy to get in from to you. So from that direction, which is a thagar for you, have come over you or came like a cloud over you, like a an umbrella or an overcast over you, a hawlun. Terror, terrifying things. Lahu zulamun, which has darknesses, different kinds of darkness. Taghshakumu qita'a, and they cover you in pieces, one piece after another of darkness. Waqad adallakumu min shatri thagrikum. And waqad al-sha'ir, also the poet said, Inna al-asira biha da'un mukhamiruha, fashatraha basaru al-aynayni mashhuru. إن العسيرة بها داء مخامرة. He did not say who is the poet in this case. And even though some authors have mentioned who is this, the person who said this poetry, but I will not bore you with this either. So he says, إِنَّ الْعَسِيرَ. And the Asir الوذلي اللي قال هذا الآخر شهر ونسبه إلى قيس بن خويلد الوذلي يصف ناقة وكذلك الجوهري في الصحاح صحيح. And others say that it is Qais ibn al-Aizara, etc. Qais ibn Khuwaylid al-Hudhari. Anyways, إن العسير بها داء مخامرها فشطرها بصر العينين مشهور. العسير means the shikama, والله أعلم. Actually he mentioned it, huh? التي لم تذلل. Which means that the untamed she camel has a disease that is possessing it, so that the eyesight is enchanted in its direction. Shatra, same word. Shatra means in its direction. قال الشافعي يريد تلقاءها بصر العينين ونحوها تلقاء جهتها, which means the eyesight is turning tilqa'aha, same thing in this direction, and nahwaha, same thing, tilqa'a jihatiha, which means in its direction. وَهَذَا كُلُّهُ مَعَ غَيْرِهِ مِنْ أَشْعَارِهِمْ. Here there is long discussion about this line of poetry and the other lines that are before it or after it, but anyways, this is enough to tell us that, because our concern here is to see how Al-Shafi'i is using some of the poetry to prove the meaning of shatr, the meaning of the word shatr, which is mentioned in the Quran, shatr al masjid al haram. This وَهَذَا كُلُّ مَعْ غَيْرِ مِنْ أَشْعَارِهِمْ. All of this with other poetry from the Arabs, يُبَيِّنُ أَنَّ شَطْرَ الشَّيْءِ قَصْدُ عَيْنِ الشَّيْءِ. It shows that shatr, turning shatr الشيء, the shatr of something to the shutter of something, means to intend to go to itself or to turn in its very direction. إذا كان معاينا فبالصواب. If you can see it, then you turn in its actual direction, in the correct direction, because you can see it. وإن كان مغيبا فبالاجتهاد بالتوجه إليه. And if you cannot see it, then you make اجتهاد, you try yourself to know what is its direction, so that you would go, turn in its direction and move in its direction. وَذَلِكَ أَكْثَرُ مَا يُمْكِنُهُ فِيهِ. And that's the best that one can do in this case. That's the best that one can do. If you cannot see something, the best you can do is make ijtihad to know its direction. وَقَالَ اللَّهُ وَجَعَلَ. You notice now, this that we read now, in the previous reading that we read about the same subject, he mentioned all of this in like half a line. So now he's putting some more detail into it. وَقَالَ اللَّهُ وَجَعَ لَكُمُ النُّجُومَ لِتَهْتَدُوا بِهَا فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ. He made for you the stars so that you are guided with them in the darkness, different kinds of darkness of land and sea. وَقَالَ وَعَلَمَاتِهُ بِالنَّجْمِ هُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ. And he says, and signs, and with the stars they get guided, or they get guidance from the stars. So he's telling us now that there are things that Allah gave us to enable us to know the directions. This is the first ayah from Surah Al-An'am, and this second surah from Surah Al-Nahl. فَخَلَقَ لَهُمُ الْعَلَامَاتِ وَنَصَبَ لَهُمُ الْمَسْجِدَ الْحَرَامِ. So he created for them, which means for the people, alamat, the signs, or the indicators. وَنَصَبَ لَهُمُ الْمَسْجِدَ الْحَرَامِ. And he established Al-Masjid al-Haram, the sacred mosque. وَأَمَرَهُمْ أَن يَتَوَجَّهُ إِلَىٰ. And he commanded them to go, to turn in its direction. وَإِنَّمَا تَوَجُّهُهُمْ إِلَيْهِ بِالْعَلَامَاتِ الَّتِي خَلَقَ لَهُمْ. And indeed, turning in its direction can only be with or by means of what? The alamat, the signs that he created for them. Also, والعقول التي ركبها فيهم, and the reason that he put into them, into the people. Allah Azza gave us minds or intellect, and gave us signs, so we see the signs, we use our intellect, we combine them in a certain amount, certain proportions, and like a recipe, and we come out with a final conclusion telling us what is the direction. التي استدلوا بها على معرفة العلامات, the minds that they use to understand the علامات, the signs. وكل هذا بيان ونعمة منه جل ثناؤه. And all of this is bayan, is clarification and favor from him. May his praise be glorified, subhanahu wa ta'ala. وقال, now he, this is the first proof he gave, and as you remember, he mentioned this before. Now, he, as I said, he, there's more detail. He mentioned a couple of others before, and he will mention them in more detail again here. More proofs that we are required to make ijtihad. So the second proof he brings here, وقال وأشهد ذوي عدل منكم, and he said, take as witnesses two trustworthy individuals among you, or men among, from amongst you. وقال ممن ترضون من الشهداء, and he said, of those that you are accept from the witnesses, or you are pleased with of the witnesses. The first ayah from Surah At-Talaq, that you take two just witnesses or trustworthy witnesses, that is over, have them witnesses over the divorce. And the second ayah from Surah Al-Baqarah is saying مِمَّن تَرْضَوْنَ مِنَ الشُّهَدَاءِ, that is in Surah Al-Dayn, in Ayat Al-Dayn, the long ayah about debts, and that you need to write them down. So he said, فَإِنْ لَمْ يَكُنَا رَجُلَيْنِ فَرَجُلٌ وَامْرَأَتَانِ مِمَّنْ تَرْضَوْنَ مِنَ الشُّهَدَاءِ, if you do not have two witnesses, two male witnesses, then one man and two women of the witnesses that you are pleased with, that you accept. So he's using the word please or accept to show that there is an element of a human judgment here, okay, and that requires ijtihad. And similarly, the ayah before it, ذَوَيْ عَدْلٍ مِنْكُمْ, trustworthy among you. This, how can we tell that these are trustworthy or not trustworthy? This requires judgment. وَأَبَانَ أَنَّ الْعَدْلَ الْعَامِلُ بِطَاعَتِهِ فَمَنْ رَأَوْهُ عَامِلًا بِهَا كَانَ عَدْلًا وَمَنْ عَمِلَ بِخِلَافِهَا كَانَ خِلَافَ الْعَدْلِ. And he clarified, this is in regard to the first of these two ayat about witnesses, that the adl, the trustworthy, is the one who acts upon or with obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whoever they see, the people see acting with obedience, then he is trustworthy. And whoever acts contrary to that, he is contrary to being adl. He is not trustworthy anymore. Where did he clarify this? Anybody remember the ayah? وَأَبَانَ أَنَّ الْعَدَّ الْعَامِلُ بِطَاعَتِهِ. Anybody can tell us which ayah is this referring to? Because it's saying that Allah indicated that the adl is the one who acts with obedience to Allah. يلا يا شيخ حسن, هي ما تحتاج تفكير. امزح. أنا ما بعرف, لو بعرف ما كنت سألت. Sheikh Hassan will tell us where. There is an ayah, it seems, or some ayat which indicate that adl means trustworthiness, or a adl person is a trustworthy, an obedient to Allah. A trustworthy person is an obedient person to Allah. وقال جل ثناؤه لا تقتلوا الصيد وأنتم حرم. Now he came to the third example. He comes here to the third example which shows that ijtihad is an obligation. He says, Allah says, and this is in Surah Al-Ma'idah, لَا تَقْتُلُوا الصَّيْدَ وَأَنْتُمْ حُرُمٌ وَمَنْ قَتَلَهُ مِنْكُمْ مُتَعَمِّدًا فَجَزَاءٌ مِثْلُ مَا قَتَلَ مِنَ النَّعَمِ يَحْكُمُ بِهِ ذَوَى عَدْلٍ مِنْكُمْ هَدْيًا بَالِغَ الْكَعْبَةِ. He says, do not, what means, do not kill the game or the animals, the hunting animals, while you are in a state of ihram. And whoever kills that intentionally, then as a ransom for that, he has to offer an animal similar to that which he killed. Similar to that which he killed. And this is decided by two individuals who are trustworthy among you. And this ransom or gift or offering should be offered to reach the Kaaba, which means in the areas of in the vicinity of Al-Madinah, of Mecca, in Mecca and its suburbs. يعني. والله أعلم. فكان المثل على الظاهر. فكان المثل عفوا على الظاهر أقرب الأشياء شبها في العظم من البدن من البدن. The a similar animal apparently means the things which mean the animals that are closest في العظم, the closest in size of the animals. So if one, let's see if he'll give examples. So if one, for example, kills a, let's say, a rabbit, then he may offer, maybe those two trustworthy persons will decide that in ransom of that he has to offer a chicken. And if he kills a deer, a small deer, they may decide that as a ransom for that he has to offer a goat. And a big deer, he has to offer a cow, for example. And so on. So that's what it means, that they have to decide what is the equal. And that requires ijtihad, of course. In addition, this ayah also has the mention of the two trustworthy people, and to find them, you need to perform ijtihad as well. واتفقت مذاهب من تكلم في الصيد من أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم على أقرب الأشياء شبها من البدن. فنظرنا ما قتل من دواب الصيد أي شيء كان من الناعم أقرب منه شبها فديناه به. So the opinions of those who discussed hunting among the companions of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم agreed that the closest thing in similarity, the most similar thing of the animals, how to decide it, that is, they gave their opinion. So we look now at whatever is killed of the hunted animals, and whatever animals of the, that is, of the tamed animals, that is, of the, what you call them, the domestic animal that you eat, whatever of that is closest in likeness to it, to them, then we use them as ransom for them. وَلَمْ يَحْتَمِلِ الْمِثْلُ مِنَ النَّعَمِ الْقِيمَةَ فِيمَا لَهُ مِثْلٌ مِنَ الْبَدَنِ فِي الْبَدَنِ مِنَ النَّعَمِ. And the مثل or the equal or the similar, the word similar here, مثل ما قدم النعم, cannot possibly mean القيمة, which means the value, that you pay a value in regard to the animals which are equal in size and body. إلا مستكرها باطنا ولم يحتمل مثلنا. إلا مستكرها باطنا فكان الظاهر الأعم أولى المعنيين بها. Which means the مثل or the equal cannot possibly mean the value except as a disliked indirect meaning. As for the apparent meaning of ظاهر العام, فكان الظاهر العام أولى المعنيين بها. This is more, there is more right for the apparent meaning, that is. We have to accept the apparent meaning which has more likelihood than the other meaning. وهذا الاجتهاد الذي يطلبه الحاكم بالدلالة على المثل. And this is the ijtihad, this is what we call ijtihad, that is required by a judge, by a person who is judging in a certain case, in regard to indicating what is similar, what is similar to what of the animals. وَهَذَا الصِّنْفُ مِنَ الْعَلْمِ دَلِيلٌ عَلَى مَا وَصَفْتُ قَبْلَ هَذَا. This kind of knowledge gives a proof, or it is an evidence in regard to what I described earlier. عَلَى أَنْ لَيْسَ لِأَحَدٍ أَنْ يَقُولَ فِي شَيْءٍ حَلْ. This is again one of the very important and famous statements of Imam al-Shafi. He says, لَيْسَ لِأَحَدٍ أَبَدًا. It is not permitted for anyone at all to say in regard to anything, أَنْ يَقُولَ فِي شَيْءٍ حَلَّ وَلَا حَرُمَ, that it is halal or haram, إِلَّا مِنْ جِهَةِ الْعَلْمِ, except with knowledge. Except with knowledge. وَجِهَةُ الْعَلْمِ الْخَبَرُ فِي الْكِتَابِ أَوِ السُنَّةِ. And knowledge means the text from the Kitab, from the Quran, or from the Sunnah, or awal ijma'u awal qiyas, or the consensus of the ulama of the Ummah, or qiyas, which means what is qiyas in English? Analogy. To make analogy with cases that we already know, using the correct rules of derivation. Huh? Ma ispatu ay?
Scan.
No fa. اسم القرآن هو قال لك بالقرآن. وأبان أن العدل, يعني الله عز وجل بين إنه العدل العامل بطاعته. وأبان أنه مقصود في الله, بيقول لك وقال وأشهد ذوي عدل منكم, بعدين بعدها وأبان أن العدل, يعني أعطى تعريف من هو العدل. أنا ما أتكي على المعصية الله عز وجل. لا ما أظن, يبدو أنه فيه يعني اللي أتى ببالي هو قوله وإذا قلتم فعدلوا وبعهد الله أوفوا, يعني هذه يبدو كأن فيها يعني, بس هذا العدل فقط في القول يعني. طيب بس هي ما تبين أنه العدل عامل بطاعة الله عز وجل,
دليل على أن العدل هو الطاعة, أنه من يوصف العدل هو من أطاع الله.
جاء على 71. We are trying still to find this. صحيح مرت من قبل وما فكرنا فيها وقتها, لأنه العدل أن يعمل بطاعة الله. هناك قال, he said that, but he did not say that it's mentioned in the Quran. Yeah. التعريف هو اللي قاله الشيخ حسن. إذا إحنا بدنا التعريف بالقرآن, يعني إذا عندك هذا في كتب اللي فيها الفهرس تاع القرآن بآخره, كتب تفسير صغيرة, عندك واحد منها؟ ما إيش اسمه؟ كم بالآخر؟ في مفردات القرآن. إيش بآخره في مفردات أبجدي؟ هل كنت شوف قيمه العدل؟
وين في أي سور ما القرآن؟
Okay. Let's keep going, inshallah, while they do the search.
Where is the search?
The word adl, how it is defined in the Quran. Is that English? No, no. وجهة العلم ومعنى هذا الباب معنى القياس. لأنه يطلب فيه الدليل على ثواب القبلة والعدل والمثل. He says, and the meaning of this chapter that we are discussing is the meaning of qiyas. The meaning of qiyas, making qiyas, analogy. Because it is required in it, it is required in this regard to find the evidence in regard to the correctness of the direction of qibla and al-adl, the trustworthy person, and al-mithl, the equal, the similar animal. والقياس ما طلب بالدلائل. Now he defines قياس here. He says والقياس ما طلب بالدلائل على موافقة الخبر المتقدم من الكتاب أو السنة لأنهما. Here is another important famous statement by Imam Shafi'i. See, all of his words actually are very precious words, but some of them are usually often quoted by people who came after. لأنهما علم الحق المفترض طلبه قطلب ما وصفت قبله من القبلة والعدل والمثل. He says, and qiyas is, I mean, which means analogy, is that which is sought, which you try to reach it by evidences in such a way as to agree with earlier information, earlier khabar or text. Well, هدول ما في هون يا ما في. مثل تعرف الماجد المفهرس ألفاظ القرآن عندك يا؟ إذا عندك
الوثيقة فيها
المستنسخة.
لا. عندي على البوك ستور فرجيك يا شو. خير شو. Okay, so he's saying, he's defining qiyas, and it's important to remember this definition because people usually would differ about what is qiyas, and some scholars, as Sheikh Hassan can tell you, deny that there is qiyas. You know, the students who go into study of usul, they find that some scholars say there is no qiyas. It has to be, there must be a text from the Quran or the Sunnah, or, and there is nothing like qiyas. Maybe they'll accept ijma, but they will not accept qiyas. And Imam Shafi'i here has proven that there is qiyas, or ijtihad in other words. And you must make ijtihad, because there are cases where Allah tells us to do things that require from us ijtihad and qiyas. And there's no way we can perform Allah's obligation unless we do this. So now he is, after proving this by three different examples, which is enough, even one example is enough to tell us that yes, indeed, qiyas is not only permissible in Islam, but it is required in some cases. After that, he gives you a clear definition of what is qiyas. So he says, "Al-qiyas ma tuliba bid-dalail ala muwafaqati al-khabar al-mutaqaddim." Qiyas means that you seek by means of evidences that which agrees with the previous, with an earlier text. From the book or the Sunnah? From the Quran or the Sunnah? So you have a text from the Quran and the Sunnah, and you need to get an answer in a certain situation that has no text. So you use dala'il, indicators, you can say maybe better than evidences. You use indicators that take you from the previous, from the earlier text, from the text of the Quran and Sunnah, and you can extend them to that thing. So, for example, yes.
I have a good example.
Say. That what?
That I ran into today.
Okay.
I went to the store, and this is probably going to have to go out the issue about earrings. And he said, well, you know, it's old African culture.
Because how? Tell me what? Why you say it's qiyas? What's the logic that you're following?
Well, I'm just bring up the issue. He just said.
Yeah, I understand what he said and you said, but what is your reasoning so that you said that it is qiyas? Because there is a text prohibiting something, and based on that text you conclude that something else is prohibited. What is that text? No, that's not what he's saying. No. No, that guy was saying from culture. He is not accepting his statement. He's saying, no, this is from Islam. This is against Islam. And
no, I'm saying the guy, he said, he's trying to say that a person would tell him it's haram, but he's saying it's not haram.
I know.
Because there is no clear...
Who is using qiyas, you or he?
He is.
He is? Yeah, that's wrong qiyas. Because qiyas has to start from evidence from the Quran and Sunnah. Okay? The shara'a qiyas. So you can respond to him by saying Allah, for example, prohibits imitating women in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. لَأَنَّ اللَّهَ مُتَشَبِّهًا مِنْ رِجَالِ بِالنِّسَاءِ مُشَبِّهَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ بِالرِّجَالِ. Allah prohibits, this is a text. And the women used, we know from the, this is the dala'il, the indicators, we know from the track history of Muslims from the time of the Prophet ﷺ on, that only women wore earrings. So therefore the conclusion based on the text is that by qiyas we say that this is prohibited for you. This is something that, even though there's no text saying men may not wear earrings, there's no such text, but based on the text and some simple kind of qiyas, we reach the conclusion that yes, it is prohibited.
So he's trying to say that this text is a good example of qiyas, because there is no clear text saying that
right.
They made qiyas from the text that it's forbidden for women to
imitate. No, we made this qiyas.
We made this qiyas.
Yes.
I'm saying,
right.
That's what he's trying to say, right?
No, he was saying that the guy was making wrong qiyas to say that's okay because it's in the African culture. But we say that this is wrong qiyas because qiyas as is defined is that you have a basis of texts from the Quran and Sunnah, and this basis you use them with the reason, with the indicators, with the sign that Allah gave us, with all the means that gave us plus our intellect to reach a conclusion that leads directly, that comes directly as a direct result from the evidence of the Quran and Sunnah.
Actually, what he's saying is something that Allah
has
said.
It doesn't matter what he's saying. Because we can interpret his saying in different
ways.
But your friend, the qiyas that your friend was making, actually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which one of them
blamed.
Blamed or put down people who use that, because this is referring to the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the mushrikeen of Quraysh, the pagans.
So there's another qiyas here that you can show him that his conclusion is wrong. He's doing like the mushrikeen used to do, follow their forefathers, and this is not the way of Islam. Okay. So he says, when he mentioned the Quran and Sunnah, that the qiyas should rely on the text from the Kitab and Sunnah, or Sunnah, the book or the Sunnah. He says, لأنهما, as I said, this is a very famous statement by Imam Shafi, لأنهما علم الحق المفترض طلبه. Because they are the علم means like mountain, or a very clear sign that you cannot miss. Okay, and now in our days it's used to mean flag,
banner.
Or banner. Yeah, but in the past they did not use it in this sense. علم means banner. They meant the clear indicator. Big indicator of
landmark,
like an important landmark. By the way, he translated the book by Ali Khashan, right? A small book. He was using lots of quotations from Risala Imam Shafi, and this is one of them that he used. لَأَنَّهُمَا عَلَمُ الْحَقِّ الْمُفْتَرَضِ طَلَبُهُ, because they are the banner or the what we said, the landmark of truth that we are required to seek. كَتَرَبِ مَا وَصَفْتُ قَبْلَهُ, such as seeking what I mentioned prior to this, مِنَ الْقِبْلَ, in regard to turning to the Qibla, وَالْعَدْلِ, finding the Adl or knowing who is trustworthy, والمثل, and finding the equal among the animals or the similar. وموافقته تكون من وجهين, and for the conclusion that we make with Qiyas, to agree with the Kitab and Sunnah. Remember, we have starting point, which is text from the Quran and Sunnah, conclusion, the end, which is the conclusion, and in between, to reach from the beginning to the conclusion, we use signs and guidelines and reason and so on. So he says that the conclusion that we reach agrees, should agree, or its agreement with the texts, which means of the Quran and Sunnah, is min wajain, from two different sides, or it has two different faces, or two different parts. أحدهما أن يكون الله أو رسوله حرم الشيء منصوصا أو أحله لمعنى, فإذا وجدنا ما في مثل ذلك المعنى فيما لم ينص فيه بعينه كتاب ولا سنة أحللناه أو حرمناه, لأنه في معنى الحلال والحرام أو الحرام. أنا ماشي أنا خالي زفر بس زمي أنا زفر. Which means the first case is that Allah or His Messenger would have prohibited something by text, or permitted something for a certain meaning. That is, it says, what? Let's see if he gives an example. Okay, anybody can get us an example of things that are, that Allah prohibited, and He gave us the reason why He prohibited it. What? What did He say? Everybody agrees on khair. Jazakallah khair. Barakallah khair. إنما يريد الشيطان أن يوقع بينكم العداوة والبغضاء في الخمر والميسر ويصدكم عن ذكر الله وعن الصلاة فهل أنتم منتهون. So he gives us some reason for prohibiting khamr, for prohibiting gambling. إنما يريد الشيطان أن يوقع بينكم العداوة والبغضاء. It is a cause of enmity and hatred. وَيَصُدَّكُمْ عَنْ ذِكِرِ اللَّهِ, and it turns you away from the remembrance of Allah. فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُنْتَهُونَ. So are you gonna stop partaking in them or not? So there is a meaning. Now, if we find something which has the same effect, the same outcome of causing hatred among the Muslims, or of turning away from the remembrance of Allah, then we say we can use this as a reason for prohibition. I mean, this has the same meaning. There's a common meaning there that we can use for qiyas, to reach. Like what we say about smoking, for example. Smoking, there is no text saying cigarettes are haram, but we say that Allah prohibited things that cause harm, that cause darar, and we apply this meaning to cigarettes to say that this is haram, therefore baqiyas. So the first case is that Allah or His Messenger would have prohibited something by text, or permitted it for a certain meaning, for a certain reason. So if we find something, if we find that it's similar to this meaning is applicable in the case that we are dealing with, that is, in that where there is no text, specific text in regard to it, in the book or the sunnah, like cigarettes for example, أَحْلَلْنَاهُ أَوْ حَرَّمْنَاهُ, then we make it halal or haram, if it is common, if it has, because it has the same meaning, which means the same reason for permission or prohibition that that thing had. Okay. أو نجد الشيء يشبه الشيء منه والشيء من غيره ولا نجد شيئا أقرب به شبها من أحدهما فنلحقه بأولى الأشياء شبها به كما قلنا في الصيد. I think he means that this is the second kind. غلبة الشبه. غلبة الشبه يعني شبه يغلب أكثر شبها. I think he means that this is the second type or the second case. The first case is that we have the meaning or the reason for which something is permitted or prohibited, so we can make qiyas. If this is prohibited, Allah tells us why he prohibited it, or permissible and he tells us why he permitted it, then other things that share the same cause or reason or justification will be similarly prohibited, permitted or prohibited. The other case he says, أَوْ نَجِدُ الشَّيْءَ يُشْبِهُ الشَّيْءَ مِنْهُ وَالشَّيْءَ مِنْ غَيْرِهِ. Or we found something that has similarity to one case and another case. So we are dealing with a certain situation which has a text similar to it somewhat and another text similar to it to some degree. وَلَا نَجِدُ شَيْءًا أَخْرَى بِهِ شَبَهًا مِنْ أَحَدِهِمَا. So, but we find that nothing is more closely similar to it than one of these two cases. فَنُلْحِقُهُ بِأَوْلَى الْأَشْيَاءِ شَبَهًا بِهِ. So we make it, we consider it part of the thing that is most similar to it. كَمَا قُلْنَا فِي الصَّيْدِ. Like we said about hunting. Which means that when somebody kills an animal, and that animal is, let's say, a deer, that is somewhere in size between a goat and a cow, but it is so small that it's almost closer to a goat, or larger so that it's closer to a cow, to a horse, whatever, something. So then we see which of the two, and that it's closest in appearance, in shape and size, etc., in description, to one of these two animals, but it's not similar to a camel, for example. So we say it's between these two. Now we see which of the two is closer to it, or it is closer to one of these two, and we say its hukum, its ruling goes with this one which is closer to it. This will be, have more explanation inshallah later on. قال الشافعي وفي العلم وجهان الإجماع والاختلاف وهما موضوعان في غير هذا الموضع. And there are two cases that, which means pertaining to اجتهاد or to قياس. There are two situations. الإجماع والاختلاف. That there is one case where there is إجماع. There is consensus among the ulama. This is easier, of course, obviously. والاختلاف. There is difference. Well, there is difference. وهما موضوعان في غير هذا الموضع. And they will be described in a different place. We'll be discussing this later on in the book. Yeah, this could be used, yeah, it's to some degree. يَعْدُونَ بِالْحَقِّ وَبِهِ يَعْدِلُونَ. They, yeah, somewhat, yeah. Keep looking. ومن جماع علم كتاب الله. Almost we are. Actually, we only have like 5 minutes left. So let's, inshallah, try to make the best of out of it. ومن جماع علم كتاب الله العلم بأن جميع كتاب الله إنما نزل بلسان العرب. And something comprehensive, he's saying, in regard to the knowledge of the Book of Allah, is to know that all the book of Allah was only revealed with the tongue of the Arabs, or according to the tongue of the Arabs. And we saw that he is actually using this because he was using the Arabic poetry to prove the meanings or to derive the meanings of some texts that specifically the meaning of the word chatr that we were discussing earlier. Also, he's telling of the comprehensive knowledge, or that which encompasses the knowledge of the book of Allah includes the following things. One of them, knowing that all the book of Allah was only revealed with the tongue of the Arabs, which means in the Arabic language, and not the Arabs of today, but the Arabs, the actual original Arabs. Secondly, وَالْمَعْرِفَةُ بِنَاسِخِ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ وَمَنْسُوخِ, to know, to have the knowledge of the abrogating and the abrogated in the book of Allah, which means the texts that are abrogated by later texts or things like that, and also the mansukh, which means that which has been abrogated. وَالْفَرْدِ فِي تَنْزِينِ, he says here, al-fard, ma'rifatu ma jaa fi al-kitab mafruḍan wa ma jaa lil-adabi aw lil-irshad aw lil-ibaha, ay al-farq bayn al-amr alladhi huwa al-wujub 'ala asli wa bayn al-amr alladhi tadullu al-qara'in wal-adillah 'ala annahu laysa al-wujub, which means, and to know what is obligatory in the revelation. No, still, well, actually they have them under the same line, but probably you can't consider them as being separate because it's different from nasikh wal mansukh. Yeah, even though you have them under the same number here. Al-fard wal-fard fi tanzilih, and also the fard in the revelation, which means which part of the revelation is an obligation. Because sometimes there will be a command, but it is understood by the ulama, by the ummah, by the sahaba, that it doesn't mean an obligation, it means a recommendation. And he's saying, what is the thing that the catch-all or the overall things needed for qiyas? That knowing that it is all in the Arabic language, that you have to know the nasikh and mansukh, and what is fard in the tanzeel, in the revelation, wal-adabi wal-irshad wal-ibaha, and what of it is only a form of mannerism or guidance or permission. So there is that which is obligatory, that which is recommended, and that which is left open. It is up to you to do it or not to do it. Adab means mannerism. So it's guide you to the better manners. No, you have to know these things. You have to be able to distinguish in the things, in the commands, for the commands that are in the book of Allah or the Sunnah of the Prophet, which of those are obligatory, telling us of obligations, which of them are telling us of recommended things, and which of them are for ibaha. Just, it's up to you to do them or not to do them. Wal ma'rifatu bil mawdi'i alladhi wada'a Allah bihi nabiyya. And also it is, one must understand the position in which Allah has situated or placed His Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. من الإبانة عنه, in that he explains from him, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم explains from Allah or clarifies things that Allah عز وجل told him to clarify to us. فيما أحكم فرضه في كتابه وبيانه على لسان نبيه, in regard to that which he made its obligation, established its obligation in his book, and clarified upon the tongue of his Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. وَمَا أَرَادَ بِجَمِيعِ فَرَائِدِهِ, and what he intended by all of his obligations, what Allah, that is, intended by all of his obligations. Which means the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is the one who shows us this. وَمَنْ أَرَادَ, and also who is intended, in a certain text, in a certain obligation, who is intended Is it meant to be to men for alone, or women alone, or both, or travelers, or non-travelers, or old people, or young people, or etc.? And it applies to different situations. Some regulations apply to different situations, or to various situations. Others apply to all situations. So one has to know this. أَكُلُّ خَلْقِهِ أَمْ بَعْضَهُمْ دُونَ بَعْضٍ. Does it apply to all of his creation, or some of them, but not others? وَمَا افْتَرَضَ عَلَى النَّاسِ مِنْ طَاعَتِهِ وَالْإِنْتِهَاءِ إِلَىٰ أَمْرِهِ. And also, in regard, he's still talking in regard to the Prophet ﷺ and the position that Allah placed him in. He says, and also that Allah has made it an obligation upon the people to obey him and submit to his commands. ثم معرفة ما ضرب فيها من الأمثال الدوال على طاعته المبينة لاجتناب معصيته وترك الغفلة عن الحظ والازدياد من نوافل الفضل. This is the last thing that he mentions on qiyas, in regard to qiyas, which is then one should know the parables that Allah gave that lead or guide people to his obedience, and that indicate or clarify that how the avoiding disobeying him and obeying his terms, that clarify.